This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Who'd be a Leitrim football supporter these days?
It's not an easy time to be a Leitrim person at the minute, and there's some great Leitrim people out there, and we'll all put our shoulders to the wheel and try to make it a bit better.
Leitrim under 20 selector James Glancy on the county's league concession fallout and last night's under 20 loss to Galway. If Leitrim are looking for some inspiration, try Sligo Rugby.
Sligo Rugby Club have won the County Senior Cup for the second year in succession at the volley end. A try by Ben Hines in the corner.
Sligo's Connacht Senior Cup winning players give us their reaction to back-to-back successes. And indoors, can the All-Stars take one giant step forward on court this weekend in basketball's Super League playoffs?
We were rookie coaches, me and Shane, when we came in, and a lot of our players were rookies. I mean, you know, there was talk around, were we better off in Division 1? Could we compete? But, I knew in my heart and soul, you know, we have to be up at the top level to improve and learn, and that's what we've done.
Yeah, EJ Sligo All-Stars putting the finishing touches to preparations for Saturday night's Men's Super League quarter-final against the reigning Super League champions Griffith College Aina from Dublin. We'll get to the basketball in a little while. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. Also coming up, Donegal manager Jim McGuinness on what his side will and won't change for Sunday's Division 1 trip to Mayo. Five Division 1 counties can still conceivably reach the league decider. Plus, the new Creevy Activity Hub in Ballyshannon is gathering big momentum. The new Hua? Well, we'll explain all this hour. And we'll hear about Saturday week's big four-county 100-kilometre cycle to raise some cash for the hub, which is set to bring a transformative addition to the Ballyshannon community. We're on the usual contact details as well if you want to get in touch. 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text. sport@oceanfm.ie is the email address. And on social at OceanFMSport, we'll find us on Facebook and on X. A reminder too, this programme will soon have a new home, a new broadcast day and time on Ocean FM. We're moving to Fridays at tea time in the coming weeks. You'll find us on the air between 6 and 7 p.m. on Fridays. The podcast will also be available in the usual places. So if you tune in some Thursday night and don't hear the final whistle, that probably means we've moved to Fridays at tea time. 24 minutes gone in Plovdiv, a new name to me, in Bulgaria. It's Bulgaria 1, Ireland 1 in the Nations League relegation playoff first leg. The Bulgarians scored in the 6th minute from play, but Ireland have equalised and got back on top in the past few minutes. Finazaz heading into an empty net after the Bulgarian goalkeeper was stranded from a well-worked Ireland move. So it's 1-1 there, an eventful opening quarter to that Nations League relegation playoff. This is to see who stays in League B. The loser drops to the lower tier, and it's a two-legged affair. The return game is in Dublin at the Aviva on Sunday. Well, Leitrim will complete what's proved to be a turbulent Allianz Football League Division 3 league campaign this Sunday afternoon when they play the neighbours, Sligo, at Markovich Park. Needless to say, Leitrim will be fielding a team for this game, and it may well include some of the county's under 20 footballers who were in action against Galway last night in their Connacht Championship opener in Clune. The decision to concede last weekend's league match to Fermanagh has hurt morale inside the county, and opinions on who was right and who was wrong continue to fluctuate wildly. James Glancy is one of manager Barry McQueenie's selectors and coaches with the Leitrim County under 20 side. We'll hear his perspective on what's gone on over the past few days in a few moments. But first to last night's under 20 championship loss to Galway, 121 to 110, which wasn't quite the performance this well-regarded team was hoping for.
I don't think there were 11 points the better team. I do think they were the better team, but maybe 4, 5, 6 points maximum better, because we had a good goal chance.
The long direct ball, you persisted with that tactic. Young Kelly scored a fantastic goal, brilliant finish from a young lad again, and you persisted, as I said, with that tactic. There was one or two near misses.
Yeah, well, I think there was more than one or two. As you said, we did persist with it. The players are out there on the pitch. I suppose it's not really, you know, you can't be shouting in at them to slow it down. And when we were slowing it down, we weren't getting scores. We were missing some of the two-pointers. But even talking to you here, there is a lot of positive to take from it, because they're type of things that you, when you review the game and you look back, you see them better. But I think the 2 points there that you've made in relation to the two-pointers we missed, and we persisted with kicking the ball, which, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm... And being, as I said, very optimistic on it. I think it's a good way for a Leitrim team to be, to try and kick the ball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're talking centimetres, I think, with some of them balls absolutely. That we're in. Like, we have some fantastic talents in this county. And, you know, Darren Cox, Paul Honeyman, Rory O'Rourke, Jack Kelly. Like, it's just crazy, some of these excellent talents that we have. And, like, we want them to try and kick the ball and get the ball into them quick.
But an abundance of forwards, yeah, which is absolutely brilliant from a Leitrim. As a former striker yourself up front, you'd very much epitomise that. Can I talk to you a little bit about the whole build-up to the game as well, James, in the sense that, through no fault of their own, many of the under-20 players that are dovetailing with the senior team found themselves in the eye of the storm after the game against Fermanagh failed to go ahead. Was that a major distraction, or how did you shield the players away from all the talk that was taking place off the field?
Look, we just tried to do our best. Like, unless you were living under a stone, you know, you didn't know what was going on. It's not a very nice situation for us as a county to be in, and very as a former county player, as a coach, as, you know, a Leitrim person, it's just disappointing with what's happened. But, you know, the county board are doing the best that they can there. You know, you're assuming that the senior team are doing the best they can. They felt that they couldn't fulfil the fixture. You know, everyone has an opinion on it, how it should have been dealt with. What was done, everyone seems to think is wrong. But, you know, all we tried to do was to protect. There's six, at the end of the day, there's six under-20s in there, and I'd say this to their face, like, they're kids at the end of the day, like, and they're young men, and they are the future of our county, and they wanted to come out here and compete at the Connacht A Championship level against the under-17 All-Ireland champions at the same level 3 years ago. And we didn't perform here tonight. We're very disappointed with our performance. But at the same time, we'll go away, and from, as I said, even talking to you, there's a lot of positives that we can take from it. We've only had... We had two challenge games together, and we played them for a half each because we were trying to manage the players for the senior team, for the senior games. We have an unbelievable strength and conditioning coach, Dara Finn and Dylan Feeney, that are doing amazing work with both the seniors and the 20s. And we're just trying to put good environment in place for these fellas to be looked after, because, you know, they've played a lot of football, them lads, with the crossover with the seniors and 20s, and it's very unfair. And I for one, like, I think it's very unfair, some of the blame that's been apportioned onto them, because they're trying to do the best that they can, and it would be very easy for them to say, I'm just playing under 20 this year. They put their shoulder to the wheel with the Leitrim senior team, they put their shoulder to the wheel with us as the under 20s, and they're trying to be the best that can be. And I know a lot of their fellas' fathers soldiers with Leitrim as well, and they know they want the best for this county, no more than all Leitrim people do.
Yeah, and ultimately playing at that higher level, that in the long term is going to benefit these guys.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But I suppose you just want to try and manage it properly, because, you know, it's hard for them to go out, you know, in a senior league game on a Sunday, and then to play on a Wednesday and then on a Sunday again, and you get this old, you know.
There's probably a broader conversation, and I don't know how you fix it, but it's the whole, I suppose, the scheduling of competitions, and in the new season now, it's very condensed. And when you have a smaller county like Leitrim, that obviously and inevitably will have players dovetailing from under 20 to senior, it's more of an impact compared to some of the bigger counties.
It is, but I think circumstances this year, and again, I'm not going over old ground, it's been mentioned enough about, you know, the players that weren't available to play for Leitrim this year. You know, them young fellas stepped up to the mark, and they did the best that they could, and their county called, and I know, like, a lot of them, like, they love playing for their county, and they are honoured and privileged to play for them. And just like I was, like Barry was, and Niall, when we were all involved. And, you know, I just find some of the, maybe the what's been targeted towards them, I find it very unfair for them, because you can see both sides of it, and I think it's very important that everyone does see both sides of it. Like, and as I keep referring to, they're just young lads, and they're trying to do, like, they're putting a lot of sacrifice, their social lives and all that are put on hold to come out here and represent Leitrim, and, you know, it's some of it is just a little bit unfair on them.
We're in an era now that's been described as multimedia. Everybody has an opinion, everybody has the platform for an opinion on what has taken place, and there's been no shortage of opinions offered.
Thank God, John, I'm not on it. So I have no opinion on it at all. So I don't. I stayed well clear off it. You know, people have plenty to say, and they're entitled to their opinion, and fair play to them. I just feel really sorry for. There's 38 lads in there, and it's very difficult for them now this evening because they've gone out and they've done the absolute best that they can. But we haven't performed, and we luckily now we have a bit of a break, and we have 2 weeks, and the boys have to get, you know, put the shoulder.
Yeah, the timing is good. Probably on the back of everything that has happened, probably that 2 week break now is significant.
It is significant, yeah, and it's probably good because there's a senior game on Sunday against Sligo as well, and the boys, you know, they'll obviously be making themselves available for that. We, as a under 20 management team, have never stopped them playing for the seniors, so you know they just have to go and they have to do the business. And as you said, and what everyone keeps saying, it puts them at a higher level playing in Division 3. Results haven't gone the way of the county, you know, but look, there's learning curves there for everybody, and you know, we move on and we look towards the Mayo game. We've been pitted with a tough draw, but there's four games in it, and we said that to the lads, that we'll be looking at Galway, Mayo, you know, Roscommon, or Sligo and Roscommon, whatever order they're in, and we'll go out and we'll do our best, and you know, this result won't impact us moving on.
And there's always, maybe, I know one team would go straight into the final, but you know, a second and third are battling it out for that semi-final.
Yeah, absolutely, and like we have some good footballers, and they did show glimpses of that tonight. I think the consistency is something that we just struggled with tonight. But as you said, some of the kick passing didn't come off first, but it was very good. But you know, I just love to have had all of this group together for the last 3 months, and you know, you would have maybe seen a little bit more. But it is very hard, and I have to, you know, say it again, it's hard on everybody, you know what I mean? And it's not, you know, I suppose this is, we'll finish it soon, but it's not an easy time to be a Leitrim person at the minute. But look, there's some great Leitrim people out there, and we'll all put our shoulders to the wheel and try to make it a bit better.
That's Leitrim under 20 football selector James Glancy, who's also the St. Meloche Gaels senior football manager in Sligo for the year ahead. He was speaking to Ocean FM Sports' John Lynch in Clune last night. Leitrim under 20s have a bye in the Connacht Championship next Wednesday, so the under 20 contingent on the senior panel should be available for the league game in Sligo this Sunday, which you can hear live in full here on Ocean FM from 2 o'clock. Well, if Leitrim are looking for inspiration, maybe they could try Sligo Rugby's story over the past weekend. They were back in another Connacht Senior Cup final against Galwegians at Craig's Rugby Club in Roscommon. It was a Connacht Senior Cup final double bill. The Sligo women putting in a terrific display before going down to Tuam Uachtaráid in the women's decider last Sunday. And then in the men's final, with time almost up, Galwegians led Sligo 22 points to 19. The ref looking at his watch, deep in added time, with Sligo on the attack. Pat Curran and Ray Lannan, who were on commentary duty for OceanFM.ie last Sunday, take up the story.
And Sligo have a line out, would you believe, 5 metres out from the Galwegians try line. It's probably the only time they've been in the Galwegians half since they scored the try. And with 3 minutes of stoppage time play, they have to score a try, Pat. They have to score
this line out right, get them all right, Ben Hines to throw in. We have Fintan Crawley to our Archie McLean.
Here comes the throw from Ben Hines. McLean wins it. The 5 minutes out. Now the maul. Wonder will the backs join in? Maybe the backs now. Backs are going to join in. Sligo backs are joining in here. They can maul this. They're going to all join in. Here they come. They're going for the line. They're all down. Sligo has scored. Sligo has scored in the corner. The maul. The backs joined in. And they're in the corner. A try for Sligo at the very end. Would you believe it? Fantastic. A brilliant line out. A brilliant catch. Ben Hines with the throw, and Pat, the backs had to join that maul. They had to join that maul.
It was a brilliant collective team try, and the line-out was won by Archie McLean, and Sligo drove forward brilliantly. I'm not so sure, is time nearly up, you know?
Time is up!
Yes, it is. It looks to be up. It's the last kick of Sligo ahead.
So this is incredible! Ben Hines has got the match-winning try. The referee has signaled the end of the game after this conversion. What drama, what excitement. What about that for a line-out? It was absolutely magnificent. A brilliant throw, a brilliant catch, and the maul, and the whole Sligo team joined the maul.
And the whole of the Sligo supported this in the sand as well. But magnificent play by the lads. An entire panel.
Here comes Ewan Brown with the kick. Can he make it 26-22? Sligo lead by 24-22 at the moment, thanks to that try. Here comes Ewan. It's a fine kick. He's going to make it. It's a brilliant kick. Oh, it's just out to the side of the way. And it's all over. Sligo Rugby Club have won the Connacht Senior Cup for the second year in succession at the volley end. A try by Ben Hines in the corner. Deep into stoppage time. Galwegians can't believe it. A wonderful, wonderful try. Sligo celebrate. And the Galwegians team remonstrate with the referee. It's not going to change his mind. So Ewan Brown, can you describe the feelings here winning the Connacht Senior Cup second time in a row? What a dramatic finish.
Yeah, no, it's kind of touch and go at the end there. A couple of tough calls, but not delighted. It's kind of topsy-turvy season, so it's nice to get a bit of silverware, and then hopefully we can bring that into kind of the AIL next week now. That's a big focus for us now, but it's nice to get a bit of silverware. Have a good night tonight, maybe tomorrow as well, and then back to it on Tuesday, you know?
Tit for tat in the second half there. You got 19 all for most of the second half. Referee gave a penalty to them with time up almost. What was going to your mind when Steve Mannion put the ball over the bar to make it 22-19?
Not again. Like I've been here 6 years now, and I'd say we've lost last play of the game five or six times, and it doesn't get any easier. But no, we stuck at it. The boys there, Ben, won the ball back for us and dot down in the corner, so not delighted, and just good to get it done.
Well done, Ewan. Matthew Early, captain. Describe your feelings, Matthew.
Look, I'm still kind of in disbelief. We kind of snatched it there at the end. It's definitely a well-deserved win. Either team could have won it in the end, but we put the shoulder to the wheel and just came out on top in the end.
You had to defend like Goodall there at the end. Right through the second half, Galway just threw everything at. They dominated sort of territory in the second half, but your defence remained so strong.
Look, I think we got lucky, to be honest, with a few of the Weegians' decisions. They had a few penalties where they probably should have taken the points, but they backed themselves and went to the corner. We got into their half twice and we scored two tries, and look, that's rugby sometimes.
Yeah, and 19, it seemed to be 19 all for an eternity. I said to Ewan, they got the penalty at the very end, and it looked like a match-deciding decision, but you made the decision that it wasn't going to be the match-deciding decision.
Yeah, look, sometimes you just have to go for it. We had a penalty there last play of the game. We could have notched it over, gone to extra time, but look, we backed ourselves. We've been coming off a couple of good wins, a couple of really tight wins, so look, we got there on the day today.
That's two in a row, magic, isn't it?
Two doubles in a row, yeah. Look, when I joined this club, they'd only won Connacht Cup and won and never won a senior league, and now we've got eight titles, so it's really, really good years for the club.
Well done, Matthew. Will McCauley, tremendous game as well. Some winning at the very end there, Ryan getting the touchdown at the very end. Could you just describe your feelings?
Oh, it's still ecstatic. The boys, all the whole squad, big squad effort to get over and dig deep to get the win. As Matthew said, it could have gone either way.
Could you describe the last play there? You know, Ben took the line out throw. He actually got the throw. Archie caught it, laid it off from a fantastic kick to touch by Stewart.
Oh, it's about time Stewart had a good kick to touch. So now it's a great squad effort. Like we know our routine, we know our drills. Great set piece, and the backs came in to make sure we all got over the line, and well finished off by Ben.
It must be so pleasing for you that the execution was so good when it was needed so much there at the very end. You needed to have perfection with the kick, the line-out throw, the catch, the maul, and everything worked unbelievably well.
Oh, 100%. Jar, our forwards coach, has been on about percentage of line-outs and set-piece. We need to hit certain targets, and he's really been driving that all year for us. And we've been gradually getting better and better each game, and hopefully we've got the targets he wanted today.
So last question, Will. Galwegian seemed to play a lot of the game inside your half in the second half, and especially we're down to 14 when the yellow card came. He played really well at 14 men. You got the try when that happened, and you tackled really, really well when Galwegians had the advantage of the numbers.
Oh, we've got a really good structured defence. Galwegian, to fair to them, they got a nice outside break on us several times, but we've got a very dogged defence. Everyone worked hard on the end to get across and make the chops, and we got some crucial turnovers. Finton, Stu, several boys, crucial turnovers.
Congratulations, Will. A fantastic performance.
Thank you very much.
Stuart Cruden, Stuart, so much instrumental in that win today for Sligo. Some magic moments. Just describe one there. You won the ball, you tackled the Galwegians player and stripped the ball back out. That was a wonderful moment. I'm sure Niall O'Driscoll will agree there in the second half. Fantastic play.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was a bit touch and go, but I suppose, like, as the lads have already said, it was a full team performance, and, you know, the boys made it count when it mattered, so that's all you can ask for, yeah.
Sure, you really made it count with that penalty. It wasn't an easy penalty. You know, a lot of people might think you'd go for the post, but you had the confidence, as Matthew said, and you really nailed that kick.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you've got to
rugby is all about percentages and risk over reward, and sometimes you've got to take a chance, and we took a chance. Like, we looked at each other and we looked at the posts and thought, do we take a draw or do we go for a win? And we all ecstatic to take the corner and get the win. So,
and on the corner, Ben threw a great ball in, Archie caught it well. The maul was fantastic, and the backs joined in. It was a tremendous team score, wasn't it?
Oh, 100%, yeah. Like, we are a team. We're a massive team with massive players, and at the end of the day, we'd do anything for each other, and it's good to get these little wins, especially with the season that we've had. It's really nice to see us get on top there.
Sure, you must so please come over here and win so much silverware like with Sligo. Connacht Senior Cup, it's a tremendous achievement. You know, I've talked to Pat Curran, he says Sligo hadn't won it in 100 years up to a few years ago, and now they've got a few on the board. It must be amazing to come over here and make such a difference and to win silverware and win trophies for this great club.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I'm just here to try and do my part and help the club to whatever's next. And, you know, like, there's so many great stalwarts and people within this club that I'm just glad that I could come and be a part of.
Sure, last question. You were sent to the bin for 10 minutes. The team played really well when you were there, you know, in fairness to them. But, like, it was nobody really knew what the decision was for. The referee made the decision. But the team responded well, and when you came back in, you made such an impact again.
Yeah, I did get sent to the bin, and unfortunately, I spent 10 minutes there, but, like, the lads just rallied around and they ended up scoring. I think they probably played better without me. So it was just, yeah, as I said, team effort and 100%, yeah.
Well done, Stuart. Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Niall O'Driscoll, Niall, just a final thought from yourself here in Craig's, the team celebrating, rightly so. They had a great achievement. Just your own thoughts.
Yeah, really. I'm so happy for the team. So proud. I'm happy for the head coach, the whole team. Chris Gore. We won the Connacht Cup final, so I'm so happy and so proud of them.
Just a word from the President. Mr. President, great day, a red letter day for Sligo Rugby.
A red letter day for Sligo Rugby. To have two teams, women's and men's, in the Connacht Senior Cup final was fantastic. Our women showed great courage today and unfortunately came up short. But they showed true grit. Our fellas, what can I say about today? It was fantastic. I mean, it looked like it was gone from us. They showed real spirit. We had a bit of a lean period in the middle of the season, but we're going into the end of the season now with our tails up. And they showed great courage today in winning that cup.
And you're talking about courage. That last play was just incredible, wasn't it? The execution, the penalty kick from Stuart Cruden into the corner, the throw, the catch, the maul, the touchdown. It was just a coach's dream, wasn't it? But it's testament to the coaching that's gone in there that they preserved their best till the time of most need.
Yeah, it's funny. Games like this, we lost during the year between one thing and another with injuries and what have you, but we were on the receiving end of those results. Today, they showed great composure, and it showed that they worked it really well at the end. And Ben Hines to go in the corner was just the icing on the cake. I thought it was gone from us there at the very end. We were probably a little bit unlucky on that last scrum, but that's the way it goes, and I thought he was going to blow full time. We'd one play left. The lads showed great spirit to go down and do it. Not many teams can do that.
Such a dramatic finish to a cup final. A dream come true, and pure for the players and management and for yourself as president and the fans, to think the team was, the game had gone from the team and they held their nerves. You know, they didn't lose their heads when that kick was awarded against them. A lot of teams would have been remonstrating with the referee and everything else, but they didn't. They kept their nerve and executed such a brilliant score to wrestle the trophy back from Galway Regions.
Yeah, there was no panic. I mean, we kind of we sort of owed Regions a little bit for this year. That was our fourth time to play them this year, and it was great to really finish it off in the style that we finished it off.
Well, congratulations, Sligo Rugby Club. Deserving winners after an epic contest. This game will be remembered for a long time in Sligo.
Yeah, it's one of the best games I've seen this year as well, and it'll be remembered for a long time. And it's something we'll celebrate tonight, but we have to concentrate now. We have a big game next Saturday, and we can't forget about that.
Finian O'Driscoll, club president of Sligo Rugby Club. Before that, his son Niall. They were talking to Ray Lannan in Craig's Rugby Club last Sunday after that momentous Connacht Senior Cup final win over Galway Regions, 24 points to 22. The big game Finian's referring to this Saturday is in Division 2B of the AIL, as Sligo host Malahide as they try to hold themselves away from the bottom two. Long shot that it is in the closing run-in of the AIL League campaign. And before that, you heard from several of the Sligo Rugby Club back-to-back Connacht Senior League and Cup winning players, including team captain Matthew Early. Well, from outdoor Sligo success to indoor possibilities on the basketball court this Saturday night, EJ Sligo All-Stars play their Men's Super League playoff quarter-final in Dublin against last year's Super League winners, Griffith College Aina. It's one of four quarterfinals this weekend, and tip-off on Saturday evening is at 7 p.m. In a moment, head coach Shane O'Mara, Sligo All-Stars club chairperson Lisa Gillen, but first the All-Stars assistant coach Glenn Monaghan on the attributes that this roster of players has shown in the league running to make the end of season playoffs.
I think the group we have is an incredible group. They're, you know, they work so hard. They're in the gym nearly every day. They're shooting as many mornings. 9 o'clock in the morning, they're in here in the Mercy. So they're professional and everything. So we're grateful for that. And, you know, that's really important for us to...
Super League basketball isn't easy. You mentioned Mary. They were cup winners very recently. They're bottom of the table at the moment. Yeah. So things can change. It is volatile. But having done three consecutive playoffs now, do you think that kind of... help solidify the All-Stars place as a genuine Super League team?
I think absolutely. You know, I think the big thing we lacked when we came in was experience and know-how. I mean, we were rookie coaches, me and Shane, when we came in, and a lot of our players were rookies. I mean, you know, there was talk around the you know, were we better off in Division 1? Could we compete? But, you know, I knew in my heart and soul, you know, we had to be up at the top level to improve and learn, and that's what we've done. We're not there yet. You know, there's still some upside and some growth for us as a coaching staff and our team, and also as a club. You know, I think it's important as well we acknowledge the role the club have in all this. You know, it's not necessarily me and Shane or whatever. You know, you have Cyril Donlan there, you have Lisa Gillen, you know, you have Cathy Burke, you have Kira. You know, there's so many people behind the scenes here that make this what it is on a Saturday night. And, you know, we're only as good as those people are behind us. You know, you've Joan Donlan there on the bench doing the table every night. We're as good with good people is the most important factor for us. We've a team that's full of good people, and we've a club that's full of good people.
Shane O'Mara, Aegis Sligo All-Stars head coach. Now it is official. The playoffs beckon for the third consecutive season. How will you prepare for the playoffs? Is rest going to be as important as tactics and practice?
Look, we're just happy to be injury free at the moment, and I know I mentioned earlier on Saturday Darren O'Flaherty. Darren has worked miracles for us, and he's kept these fellas healthy the last few weeks. He was in again last night, worked for an hour and a half on all the guys and to get them loosened up. So look, I'm confident enough that we'll be okay. These fellas know when the playoffs come around, the lights are on, and that's it's a knockout situation. So there's no such thing as being tired at that point. Our practices won't change too much. It's not going to get any heavier, and it's not going to get any lighter. We've a nice rhythm going now at the moment, so we'll stay where we're at.
Well, Lisa Gillen, chairperson of Aegis Sligo All Stars, what does it do for the club off the court, Lisa, that you will be at the end of season playoffs? Like, that's got to have some sort of a ripple effect for the rest of the club.
Of course. I mean, I don't know if you've been at the last few games where we have all the guys who have qualified for the AICCs, the All-Ireland Club Championships, the under-14s, under-16s. Like, those guys can look and see, the guys and girls, because, you know, the Super League players don't make any gender differentiation between a player as a player. They give it all to the guys. So you can see they're aspiring to be what they see on the court. And Glenn Monaghan always says that you know, that's your shop window. That's what you want them to see it and be it, whether you're a boy or a girl. And it does give us more impetus when we see those boys to have a National League ladies' side.
So maybe the ladies' team coming down the track at national level. They're already playing, of course, in the regional league. Lisa Gillen, Sligo All-Stars chairperson, ahead of Saturday's Men's Super League playoff quarterfinal, Griffith College Aina against the All Stars is in Dublin at 7 p.m. on Saturday evening. It's been live streamed on basketballireland.tv. When we come back, Donegal football manager Jim McGuinness on what his side will and won't change for Sunday's trip to Castlebar.
The final whistle with Austin O'Callaghan. Ocean.
Well, Donegal Gaelic footballers head to Castlebar this Sunday for their final Division 1 game. It's against Mayo. They can still qualify for the league final. How hard they're pushing is a matter of conjecture. Michael Murphy played last Sunday in the loss to Tyrone. Several fringe players got an opportunity. And after last Sunday's game in Letterkenny, Donegal Bannister Jim McGuinness sat down with Ocean FM Sports' Conor Breslin to review the day's proceedings.
We'd be very happy today, to be honest, with a lot of it. Obviously, we tried out a lot of players today, and we'd be very happy with their application and very happy with, I suppose, the way they stuck at it in the game. And I think we learnt a lot about a lot of our players today, give a lot of the fellas that have been in and around the squad an opportunity to try and step up and put their hand up for some game time coming down the stretch or in championship football. So my initial thought processes would be that you'd be very proud of them, because you have a situation today where a lot of them fellas wouldn't have played maybe at that pitch. You know, you'd have to go back to maybe the club championship last year, and you're coming in against a team that's playing week on week at round six of the league, you know. So I think our performance is up to this point, give us the opportunity to do that today, you know, to I suppose rest some fellas, but also give fellas an opportunity to step up, and we'd be more than happy with that part of it.
I've never seen a league that has so many subplots, new rules, injuries, I suppose league finals, that was the big one really surrounding when we came into the press box here today, whether Donegal want to get to a league final or not. I know last time we spoke you said, well look, we're going to have to see when the time comes and we'll manage that. What's the sense now, coming into the final round of the league against Mayo, where we have two teams that could possibly get into the league final next week?
Well, our intention today was to win the game, you know, and I think that was clear, you know, in terms of the fellas kept at it, like, you know, and you know, I think if we'd get another wee bit of pressure on Niall Morgan's kickouts, we could have maybe got some more of them balls out towards the middle of the park. But certainly we were here today to win and to bring that energy and intensity that we're looking for in them players around the periphery, particularly to add value down the line. So that won't change next week. It'll be the same scenario with us next week. You know, we'll be managing some of the players next week. We have to get players ready to play against Derry as well, and that's going to be an important part of it. So we'll go back now and we look at this and we look at our squad and basically who needs what in terms of putting as many players as possible in a good spot. That's what today was about, and I think some of them fellas now that play today are in a much better place come Tuesday night for training.
Will we see much more along the lines of the same thing? A lot of new players obviously were tried out today, and will that be the theme obviously of next week against Mayo?
No, not necessarily, no. No, I think we'll go back now and we'll look at it, you know, and as I say, you know, the championship is only 3 weeks away, so a lot of our senior players will have to play in that game as well, you know, to get to the pitch of it. So it's managing all that. As I said earlier, the objective is to try and get as many players as possible to the level that they can contribute, and ultimately, I suppose, the first thing is to try and get into the 26 and then contribute on the pitch if they can.
We saw a few knocks, maybe niggles, I think Keelan McColgan, Oran Doherty, and I remember at one stage Mr. Michael Murphy was having a stretch over by the goal mouth when the play was at the opposite end, and I saw that you weren't taking your eyes off Murphy at that point. So how are the injuries? Are they okay?
Well, Oran Doherty probably has a bit of tightness in his hamstring, so we'll have to wait to see how that looks like. I don't think it's anything too serious. It was just when he was picking up the ball, Keelan McColgan sort of rolled his ankle, but he said to me there that he managed to run it off. I don't know if that's possible or not medically, but
don't ask me, Jim. Don't ask me now.
But so it's not too bad. It's not too bad when he's talking like that. And then Michael got a bit of cramp there, and we just said, no, just let's get him out. And he played very well up to that point, and we were happy with that.
I think that highlights, because we saw towards the end a lot of tired bodies from Tyrone and Donegal, and these are players at peak fitness about to come into championship. And that goes back to your comments there after the Dublin game with Desi Farrell. We have a game that we have new rules brought in, but it has upped the intensity, it's upped more time on the ball, substitutes haven't been increased. These are little tweaks that are still causing a bother for teams and managers, obviously.
It is. It's the thing that keeps you up at night, you know. You don't want to be losing players, and you know, maybe we got one injury today, two injuries today that are not too significant, but that's the thing that keeps you up at night, you know. And the games are, you know, you can see the amount of scores, the amount of kickouts that are going long that create transitional moments. And when you get a transitional moment and you lose the ball, you have to sprint 60 or 70 yards, you know, and that adds up over the course of a game and based on the number of kickouts. So it's not easy. It's definitely not easy on the physical side of thing. And again, that goes back to why we're trying to manage our group going into the championship.
Just when you talk about, obviously, that change for managers to adapt with these new rules, etc., this has come in now in your second season. I know you've always spoke about a bigger plan. It's never just one year, it's, you know, a culmination of years. Has that thrown a spanner in your works, dealing with these new rules coming in the middle of your second season? Changed your plan on how
It hasn't really, like, because you have to absorb them, but you can't coach too much to them because they're all in flux.
Yeah.
And now is the first time we'll be able to say, right, this is the way it is and this is the way it looks. I know maybe some teams have gone after certain things and are doing really well in certain things. We've just tried to focus on ourselves, focus on our own processes, build on last year, and then slowly but surely start to, you know, absorb the new rules into it, because of the level of uncertainty that we're around them. But at least now we know, whether we agree with them or disagree with them, we know now what they are, and I suppose in the coming weeks and months, hopefully we'll be able to build on that.
Well, you've definitely have seemed to absorb them well and taking them in your grasp, Jim. Finally, and I'll let you go, return to Division 1, we have one round left against Mayo. How do you assess the league overall? Of course, we have a greater picture. We have the All-Ireland series and we have Ulster, which of course is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts here in Donegal, but in terms of the league, which still is a prestigious competition, how do you assess your return to Division 1?
I think my comments from, I suppose, the launch of the National League would be the same, that it's the most competitive league I've seen in my time, all eight teams, you know, and that's bearing out now, you know what I mean? Everybody was looking at games last night and nobody really knew what was going to happen, let's be honest, you know. People thought Armagh could have went to Kerry then ended up putting in a huge performance, you know. Galway were top of the league and flying, and Dublin were able to put in a big performance as well. So that's the way it is and that's the way it's going to be, and I would imagine the championship's going to be very similar. You've great teams there in Division 1 plus teams in Division 2 that will fancy themselves, that will believe that they can beat anybody on a given day, and that's what's playing out in the league, and that is what I think will play out in the championship too.
Donegal manager Jim McGuinness with Conor Breslin. Mayo against Donegal is live this Sunday on Ocean FM from 3:45. Finally, to the new proposed Creevy Activity Hub in Ballyshannon. This is a plan to develop a new community recreational and sports facility beside Creevy National School. The people behind it busy raising money. They've already received a sports capital grant last September of €178,000, but they need a lot more cash. And on Saturday week, a 4 counties 100-kilometre cycle challenge is taking place to raise money for the new hub. Eleanor Rooney is chairperson of the Creevy Hub Committee. She and William Dugan, who'll be part of the cyclist peloton, have been explaining more about what the Creevy Hub is and might become.
It's a very exciting community sports and recreation facility, which we are in the process of developing adjacent to Creevy National School. So the facility itself is, you know, it will be available for all members of the community, and I suppose the main aspect of the hub will be an astroturf pitch, an all-weather pitch with fencing and floodlighting around it. We'll also have a second pitch, which will be a multi-use games area for tennis, basketball, soccer and pickleball. There'll also be a walking, running trail around the whole development. We'll have a community garden at the back with nature trail and picnic area. We'll also have changing rooms, changing facilities and storage area, and off-road parking facilities. So it's quite an extensive project, as you see there, Austin. And as we say, it'll be for the benefit of the whole community, our Ukrainian residents in the area, and the school community. So the school community will get to use the development during the day, during school hours, and outside of that, it will be available to all members of the community.
Well, that's an impressive-sounding list of facilities that this Creevy Activity Hub is going to have, Eleanor. William, I suppose this all costs money, and enter the 4 counties, 100-kilometre Cycle Challenge. Tell us what's happening on Saturday the 29th.
So on Saturday the 29th, approximately 87 cyclists who have signed up for the challenge will go across the Four County Challenge, and related that a lot of people across the community from Blake, Sligo, Ballyshannon, Ballintra, Donegal Town have joined us in this challenge to help give support towards it. So the route often is, as it is, a Four County Challenge. So leaves Creevy School, heads Ballyshannon, Bundoran, into County Sligo and up into the mountain at Ballantrillick and back to Kinloch, stopping in Kinloch for a pit stop and some coffee, and then around the lake of Rossinver into Garrison and back to the lake in County Fermanagh, where again there'll be another stop there, and then we will leave there and come in through the scenic Nather back into Ballyshannon, down to Ballantra and back to Creevy School.
Very good. And as you've outlined there, the four counties, Donegal, Leitrim, Sligo and Fermanagh. Are these expert cyclists who are taking part in this challenge? William, how would you describe the makeup of your peloton?
It's far from it. We have some very keen cyclists, with Eleanor and John Rooney and a few other people who have been involved in cycling down through the years to help us in the training and in the challenge and keep us safe on the road and knowing what to do. But certainly the majority of the cyclists are novice or haven't been on a bike in a long time myself. I don't think I was on a bike since the 1990s. I'm showing the age at that. But there's a lot of people like me who haven't been on it. And it's been a great challenge since January doing training with the guys. We found it a very community-based and well-spirited challenge so far. And it's great to get out and meet new people and people we didn't know within the area that in the busyness of life that you never spend any time with. So it's a great way to talk to people. It's very social and it's a really good community project to gel the community and the people who are out fundraising in this challenge. And we're delighted that so many people have taken up the challenge. Hopefully we get a good day on the 29th and that the money keeps rolling in. The money has crossed about 106,000 yesterday evening or this morning. Through the fund page, and we're delighted with that. We're a little bit away to go because it's a 600,000 project plus, and we've been delighted to get Sports Capital off 178,000 other fundraising in the past, and we're hoping this project will bring us a bit closer to making sure that we get phase one and into phase two completed over the next 12 to 18 months.
This is obviously a big project in terms of the numbers you've mentioned there, and people can make a donation. We'll explain how in just a moment. Eleanor, you're having a bucket collection this weekend. Tell us about that.
We are, Austin. So there will be bucket collectors out in town in Ballyshannon, covering all parts of the town. So that'll be from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m., four stations around town. So if you're in town at all as a visitor, as a shopper, we'd be delighted to take any of your spare cash and just throw it in the bucket, and we would be very appreciative.
And that's this Saturday the 22nd, is that right?
This Saturday 22nd, yeah.
And then for people who'd like to make a donation online to the 87 brave souls who are undertaking this Four Counties 100 kilometre challenge, how, guys, can they make a contribution?
So they can make a donation on our webpage. It's creevyhub.fundmajor.com. And that website will tell you all about the project, and you'll see a full list of cyclists who are taking part in it, and you'll see information on all our sponsors who very kindly donated and become sponsors to date.
So creevyhub.fundmajor.com is that webpage address, or if you Google Creevy Hub, you will find that page comes up for you. How is the training going, folks? Both of you are participants in this cycle. How are you finding it?
Training's going great, Austin. We have been out training since the 4th of January, so maybe 12 weeks now at this stage. And I have to say, the buzz and the crack on the training sessions are unbelievable. Everybody's so on board and so excited and so positive about it. They're delighted, and John and myself were delighted at how well people are progressing in the training. It's unbelievable to see people there who have no cycling experience, and as William says himself, maybe 30 years, hasn't been on a bike. To see those people who are coming out regularly every week, it's just unbelievable, and it's really heartwarming for us to be part of that and to be, you know, to help train them and get them fit for the 100K. So to date, we've been increasing the mileage every weekend. We started at 20 kilometres back in January, and have built it up to 75 kilometres has been our longest spin, which was last weekend. So this weekend, we're going to taper down a little bit and do a 55 kilometre, a shorter spin with a coffee stop. And, you know, it's just really a social spin at this stage to get them all ready now for next Saturday, the 29th.
And on the 29th, William, what time do you hope to start from Creevy at?
So we're heading off at 9 o'clock from Creevy in three different groups. And we'll head off in different time spaces in between. So that's the plan on that morning. And I suppose it's like the big chance or an opportunity to mention and thank all our local county councillors who have been very supportive, our local TDs and our previous minister, Thomas Burden, for support to visit the project when grant application was in there. And we found the department extremely supportive and all our local county councillors extremely supportive in getting everything to where it is today. Frank Fionn from Sligo has been very supportive as well in his time in the previous government, and we're delighted that Charlie McConnell has given us messages of support in the last number of weeks. So we've had messages of support from a number of celebrities over the last few weeks, as well as politicians. And maybe, Eleanor, you'd like to mention who has given us a shout-out of support in the last while.
Yeah, it's been really great to hear some of these people. So we've had celebrities like Shay Given, our own Michael Murphy, Marty Morrissey, local celeb PJ Buggy, and Dr. Grealish, who talks about the whole health benefits of this project. And we've also had our very own Olympic champion, Mona McSharry. So it's been fantastic shout out from all those people. And there are a few little surprises more to come. So watch your Facebook page.
Well, you've got a star-studded list there already, Eleanor. And the local business community, William, have been getting in behind this Creevy project and the cycle itself.
Yeah, the local businesses have been very supportive of both some of the cyclists and overall in some of the more corporate side of it, and the heavy lifting of the costs and the support in behind that. So, like, local Daily Brew Coffee has been very supportive. Warskies of Cashelard, Greystone Contractors, Seamless Aluminium, TMC Commercial, and also Pythagoras Capital, who is David Lawrence, who is based in Dublin, who is a past pupil of Creevy National School, Kernan's Ballyshannon, Central Ballyshannon, and Supermax Donegal Town. And it's amazing when you reach out to people who are past pupils. I was a pupil of Creevy School, and probably three generations of my family have been pupils of Creevy School. And that when you reach back out to people who have moved away from the area, they remember Creevy, Creevy community, Creevy School, and the area has been a very community-based, and they're quite happy to be supportive. And I'd like to thank all those people who have dug deep and given support to us in the background.
That's William Dugan, and before that, Eleanor Rooney from the Creevy Activity Hub Committee ahead of Saturday week's four counties 100-kilometre cycle, taking in Fermanagh, Donegal, Leitrim and Sligo. See creevyhub.fundmajor, fundmajor is all one word, .com for more information, and you'll see all the participants there if you'd like to support the crew who are taking part in the cycle, the 100K cycle, 87 of them, and you can see them all listed there on creevyhub.fundmajor.com. A reminder, finally, this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie, and wherever you get your podcasts, just search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle on your preferred podcast platform to find it. We've got live commentary this Sunday of Sligo against Leitrim in Division 3 and Mayo against Donegal in Division 2. We're live from 2.